Tune in to Radio Stormer on the dailystormer.com.
TWO Radio at Radio Stormer on the dailystormer.com.
Hello and welcome to Truth Will Out Radio on Radio Stormer at the dailystormer.com. I am hoping everyone can listen and can hear us today. We've had a bit of a rush to get on air in time. We've had problems getting Dennis connected, so we've ended up having to call him on his on the landline. So unfortunately, we won't be able to take callers today if anybody does call in, but we're just really pleased that we've managed to actually get online. It's been quite hectic, hasn't it, Dennis?
We're back to old technology at the moment.
But at least we've actually managed to hook up and get you on air. And I'll just remind people that we have got a chat room. You can also find all our podcasts in the sidebar of the dailystormer.com and a link to the chat room, a link to the live stream. We're also going to be having a live program tomorrow with Andrew Anglin and Lee from the Daily Slave. We're going to have a bit of a Daily Stormer round table, and this will be on at 2 o'clock in the afternoon Eastern time on Saturday and 7 p.m. British time. Now, I've got those adverts out the way, Dennis. I see you've finally managed to get episode 10 finished of Communism by the Back Door.
Yes, it is. I hope people can hear me clearly, because sometimes you're going into a cave. But yes, I managed to complete it, and the usual controversy has been stirred.
Yeah, I thought it was a really good episode, especially explaining what happened. You know, just what happened with the Jews in Germany. How it wasn't a hair on their heads weren't hurt, according to the people that were actually viewing the camps, and they were locked up in the camps because they were communists, not because they were Jews, but because they were communists. And 98% of the communists were Jews. That speech of Benjamin Friedman's, I mean, it's really good the way that it explains everything. It's really sort of crystal clear. And he was saying that he was actually in Germany at the time.
Uh-huh.
What happened afterwards? Do you know much about that?
Well, like he said, he lived in Germany at the time, and he knew that the German people and the Jews had come to lock horns at some stage. But it really was, like I've been saying all along, it was a holy war, and the Germans wanted to keep Europe Christian, and the communists actually won in the end. And it's so simple, because now you look around and you realise that everything that's coming out, from sodomy to usury to anti-Christian, is all communism, because they won the World War.
Yeah, it's definitely the Jews that ended up winning the war. It's and that's what we see all around us is communism. You know, what we see today is exactly what was going on in Weimar Germany that the Germans were so sick of. Yeah, it's just like history sort of repeating itself today is how it seems to me. It just continual repetition. I mean, all this degradation and immorality and the promotion of infidelity and homosexuality, that was all going on in Weimar Germany.
Yeah.
Now, see, you've also got an excellent clip of E. Michael Jones on there, which I thought really just sort of explains just what it is that it makes the Jews what the Jews are. It's their rejection of Logos, their rejection of mm-hmm. order.
I to put it really well, that's why I used it. I mean, speaking privately to you, I mentioned that I've been looking at a lot of his work lately, and although, you know, I think he still has a single light with the new Pope and one or two other things, he definitely throws a lot of light on areas which I found has to be explained. So, 85-90% to his work, I really do like. But that's nothing unusual, because not everybody can agree on everything. But it's just that I have a good feeling what Pope Francis is, and every time he opens his mouth, he's speaking for the world order. I mean, it's only the other week that he's changing, he's slackening rules on abortion.
Well, yeah, he's not just changing the rules on abortion. He's he's sent out a card the other day to a lesbian, and she's made this book up for children promoting homosexuality, and Christians have spoken out against this, and the books have been removed from the school, and the Pope has sent her a card. You know, he's expressing solidarity with her. And he's also said, "Who am I to judge homosexuality?" I mean, this Pope is really like an anti-Pope, and he's calling for more immigration. He's calling for Catholics to open up their homes to these invaders that are invading Europe at the moment. 75% of whom are young males.
It's a black plague at the moment.
Oh, totally.
That's what I call it, Europe's second black plague.
Well, it is. That's exactly what it is. But the bit that I really liked about the E. Michael Jones bit is you try to explain what Logos is, and it's quite complicated, and yet he manages to do it there in a couple of sentences. And you had Christ, who was the physical incarnation of the Logos, which is the order of the world. That's why he was perfect and at the opposite end of the scale to chaos and the Antichrist. So he was order. And by the fact that the Jews rejected him as the personification of order, that meant that they rejected order itself. So ever since there, they have been defined as being against order and being for chaos. And so the Antichrist, chaos. And this is why they're the agents of chaos and destruction. And this is why they've done nothing but foment destruction within the nations that they've been within ever since. And Judaism itself was formed directly in response to Christianity. The Talmud wasn't written until a couple of centuries after Christ, and the whole idea of it was the rejection. You know, they rejected Christ; they weren't a part of Christianity, and they became these Jews.
Well, I can tell you now that the Third World War will be another Holy War, just like World War II. Recently, I think America put up a statue of Satan. Because they thought it was the ruling was that they have a right to, because the Ten Commandments were up, so not being biased, they should put a statue of Satan up, which tells the story. And yet Putin in Russia, the largest statue of Christ is going to go up. It's 2 meters higher than the statue in Brazil. So. Tells a story there, how things have changed around from World War II, and Christianity is being maintained in Russia, but in the Western countries, ruled of course by Freemasonry and Communists, we are now going down the line of Lucifer.
Well, it's interesting that you have that dichotomy there between the two extremes, a statue of Satan in America and a statue of Christ going up in Russia. And it just shows you that's what they're pushing towards. And another part of the video, which which I thought was interesting, which I might go into in a bit of depth here, was that rabbi. Now, when he supposedly talks about
that
the
rabbi.
Torah, he's defaming the Old Testament, and it really gets some. It really gives some insight into the way that they have defamed the Old Testament, the way they've slandered it and smeared it and made it so that our own people reject the Old Testament, even though it's the Christian Old Testament. It's not the Jewish Old Testament, it's the Christian Old Testament. And it's through the things like that end up slandering it. And this is why our people end up rejecting it. And thinking that it's something about the Jews and it promotes the Jews in there. Because what that rabbi says is a pack of lies. Yeah, it's an absolute pack of lies. And he says that, oh, this is the Torah. And he says that this is what it says in the book of Isaiah. He says, it says the difference between the goy and the Jews, the Jew is like water in a bucket and the Gentile is like drops when you put it down.
And I take two drops of water on the side of the bucket.
Now, there's quite a few issues that you know that you can take with that. If you just look at the actual verse itself, it says, "Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing." Now, there's no mention of any Jews in that. And when you look at what it's actually talking about, it's actually talking about how God created everything. If you go back, it says, "Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counsellor, has taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing." It's not talking about Jews being separate from any other people, or making out that the nations are as nothing compared to the Jews. That's a pack of lies that that rabbi has just made up.
Unfortunately, that's the way they think.
Yeah, well, this is it.
That's the root of the problem. I mean, some people left some comments on thinking, I was having a go at the book itself. What I was doing, I was showing their interpretation of it. They used to call the Nazis Aryan supremacists. I've never heard anything like the Jews are worth two drops of bloody bucket on the side of a bucket, and the rest of the water is all Jew.
Well, it's
some of the cucumber, of course. You know, what 2 grams of cucumber?
Yeah, I don't understand that bit. I don't know what he's talking about there. There are a couple of other issues with this. I mean, this version of Isaiah that he's got, that he's quoting, I mean, this is obviously coming from the Talmud. And the Talmud, they also call the Torah. The Talmud is what they follow. Yeah, they have two Torahs. One is the Torah Shebil Peh, which is the Talmud.
Right.
And that's the one that they follow.
The other one was hidden for 600 years, weren't it?
Well, the other one is called the Torah Shebik Tov, and that is just the 5 books of Moses, and that they don't follow that. You know, the whole of the Talmud is negating the laws of Moses and telling them to ignore all of that and ways to get around it. And that Torah is on a big scroll, and it stays on the wall of the synagogue. And when the gullible goyim go in the synagogue, they point it out to them and pretend to show it reverence. But it's just idol worship, really. It's just a scroll that stays on the wall in the synagogue. They don't follow it. And Isaiah, who he's quoting, the Jews claim in their Talmud that they're really proud of sawing the prophet Isaiah up. They sawed him into pieces, according to the Talmud. Mm-hmm. So what this rabbi is doing... Yeah, what the rabbi is doing is he's trying to defame and slander the Old Testament by saying that. Because most people won't look that up, and they'll just think, oh, well, they'll take his word for it. And they'll say, because they think the Jews wrote the Old Testament. Whereas the Jews themselves...
That was the point I was trying to make, that it was that's what he preached, and that's what they believe. So, you know, whatever book you were reading from didn't really matter, really, you know, as far as the point I was trying to make. You know, this is the thought process that you're up against. This is why Palestinians are nothing. They're just, you know, wiped off every day, you know. And then these black immigrants who are being used at the moment from Africa and all over the places going into Europe, they might be coming over, you know, laughing and smiling and all this kind of carry on. I've just been watching a YouTube video of one bragging how he's going to defend Europe and the women. But they'll turn on them. And I'll tell you what it is, I hope if there's any justice in this world, that these traitors of ours in government, in Europe and in this country, these absolute traitors, get the reckoning. Because, you know, words can't describe. I mean, if I really said what I thought, it would probably lock me up.
Well, they are totally, you know, that is symptomatic of the way that they think. I mean, they think far worse than that. I mean, they say that the Gentiles, or the Goyim, yeah, are worse than cattle. But, you know, the, so they do have this supremacist attitude where we are just there to serve them as slaves. But get this, the word Gentile doesn't even mean non-Jew. I mean, he's saying there that, that the nations or the Goyim mean non-Jews, but there are other verses in the Bible which prove that that's not true. You've got in Genesis chapter 7, verse 4, you've got God speaking to Abraham. He says, "Behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations." And the Hebrew word there is Goy. Thou shalt be a father of many Goyim.
Well, we've seen a lot of words, haven't we, over the years? You know, key words. We adapt to that one.
Well, I've got, you know, there are four verses here where he's talking to Abraham's wife Sarah. He says, "I will bless her and give thee a son of her. I will bless her and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her." And again, so that's a mother of Goyim. So right throughout the Old Testament, the tribes of Israel are referred to as Goyim. They're referred to as nations. And yet in the New Testament, that word Goyim became Latinized and it became Gentile. And then the Jews somehow managed to claim that it meant non-Jew.
Well, as well as claiming to Israel.
Yeah, well, exactly. This is just it. You know, that they twist these words and they use it to defame the Old Testament and to put our people off Christianity. You know, this is what it is. Yeah. As well as reinforcing the fact to the Jews that we are just nothing, we're just slaves, we're just there to be exploited. And at the same time as doing that, they put our people off from our own ancestors' religion, the same religion that kicked them out of our countries 109 separate occasions.
Yeah, I've had countless arguments made, you know, with people who say that, you know, Christianity is a manipulation of the Jews, when really they're just falling into a trap. They want Christianity dead and buried. These people who, I mean, I've even noticed, Ben, right, this week, there's some fake Christians, they've got to be fake Christians on YouTube. There's a few videos going up saying why I am now not a Christian anymore. You know, it's just a concerted, you know, drip from different angles, whether they be gay or black or anti-Christian, but you know, it's a tidal wave. It really is at the moment.
It's a tidal wave that's happening in concert with a tidal wave of immigrants invading us. I noticed that the other really good bit of the video is that propaganda picture, the German propaganda picture, which shows really clearly that National Socialists saw it as a war of Christianity against godless communism. You've got...
I don't know if you noticed that poster. I put a poster in that last video and it shows a white cross being smashed by an 8-foot Bolshevik. You could clearly depict Germany leading the Christian nations of Europe in that battle against them. So every now and again I come along things like that, like, and it can't be denied. You know, they don't print posters for nothing, you know.
Yeah, that's an excellent poster. I mean, that just shows you that all the nations there were joined up with Germany, fighting against communism, and the whole idea of communism was to smash Christianity. And that's what this message is trying to get across.
I'm on a Christian crusade. What I try and do is, if you can't get to the... if you don't understand that religious side of it at that time, you know, then you'll never understand the rest of World War II and beyond, because that is the crux of it all. And... all right, they've been crafty and quiet, and they brought communism in. Everybody thought it went in the 80s, early 90s, but it's never gone away. And all the, you know, the United Nations, the European Union's breaking down all its borders. They want everybody mixed to the same, you know, just one breed. And so it's basically going to be one big, huge Soviet Union.
Yeah, it's just a repeat of that. That was the whole idea with the EU. And the UNESCO... I was reading the other day about UNESCO and the information that they put out about the races, and they were hand in hand with the communists. And these declarations that they made about the races and all the information that was to go around schools, that was made in Moscow in 1964 with the help of UNESCO.
It's a heinous organisation, United Nations. Not only is it Luciferian, but it's communism, and it's full of the gay agenda. It just was burning down that place.
Just a means for subverting all the white nations, basically, and the promotion of wiping us out through race mixing and degenerating us through homosexuality and infidelity and all the other perversities that they are promoting.
That's right. I mean, I try to expose these things, and when I first started that documentary, it didn't really get the reaction that, you know, I mean, after The Greatest Story Never Told, you know, people just thought, oh, he's done his bit now. But this particular documentary is the consequences of losing that war, and as though it's difficult to find out information and research, you know, it's just as vital a documentary as the other one, but in a slightly different way. I mean, I've got to go rooting to find stuff in Hollywood, because there's a lot of Hollywood videos up there, you know, debunking Hollywood, but I can't put anything down really that I can't back up, and that's one of the tight as a bastion is that place. Only every now and again do you get a certain leak and then you can jump in on it, but it's pretty much run by Jewish Freemasons, and so is the music industry, you know, and then the United Nations. It all comes as one, they all move in unison. So I'm hoping this documentary is going to open a lot of people's eyes, you know.
The United Nations, it seems, again, it's the same as the Weimar period. In that chapter 10, it shows you that once the Germans removed the communists from the government, they basically removed the Jews from the government, and the Jews were demanding that the Jews in other countries were demanding that these Jews be put back in government. Otherwise, they would declare war. Yeah, put the Jews back in government and sack Hitler. And then that doesn't happen. So they declare a holy war. But it's like the Antichrist declaring an anti-holy war, because the holy side of it was the white Christian nations. The unholy side of it was the Jews manipulating Britain and America. The same.
Well, that's the problem, because people have only been told half a story. And not only have they only been told half a story, it's been drummed into them for 70 years. So as soon as you start telling the other side of the story, which then all the dots connect, they don't believe you. call the racist and everything else.
All of that is just ways to silence the debate, isn't it? It's ways to silence any criticism, bringing in these ridiculous laws.
They bring up Holocaust in Europe and they bring up anti-Semitic in America. She admits it.
Well, I was forgetting that. I mean, that's quite a famous bit at the end there, where she says that. That's quite I think that's quite a well-known Jewess that's explaining that. I'm not, was she in the government of Israel or something? What was her background, do you know?
Well, she was a minister in the Israeli government at one point, but, you know, she must have a conscience, eh?
Yeah, well, she's explaining it. And just going back to this United Nations thing, and the whole idea of it was so that nothing could actually get done. It stripped the power, the sovereignty from the actual nations themselves, and then get puppets put in place that are unelected, and then get them deciding what other countries are going to be going to do. So you have the Chinese deciding on what the economy is going to be in India, say, or you have the French deciding what's going to be going on in Czechoslovakia. So basically nothing can get done. It's completely incompetent. And then you've got the bankers running it all at the very top. So you've got this puppet show for the general public, for the gullible goyim, a puppet show of unelected bureaucrats. And behind the scenes, you've got the Jews just raking in the money through their corrupt banking system, the swindle.
That's right. Well, the biggest lie of all is that the United Nations are peacekeepers. They are the world army, or they, you know, it might not be clear to everybody at the moment. So at some stage, you know, I mean, they've already flexed the muscle down in Haiti, places like that where they actually invaded. and then battered the people into submission, which again I point out in the documentary. But like I said, it's a world army. We Luciferian leadership. And which again is why, you know, Christianity is suffering all over the world, because at the moment, you know, even the Christians in Syria are suffering, the Christians in Europe are suffering, the Christians, one got jailed in America just the other day. It's only going to get better, it's only going to get better, it's only going to get worse.
Well, it doesn't. I can't see it getting any better on the horizon. I mean, just looking at the floods of the people coming into Europe, I mean, this reminds me of another biblical prophecy where it says that from the mouth of the serpent, a flood will come out and to drown the woman. And the flood, it says, is all peoples, nations, and tongues. And every time I see on the television just these floods of the third world just pouring across into Europe. You know, it just reminds me of that. That's from the Book of Revelation. So this attack on white people, it's all fits in with Christian teachings, the destruction of the church, the destruction of the establishment church. That all fits in with these biblical teachings. And then you've got people.
It just
that
makes you wonder what it would have been like if the Germans had won. I mean, we probably wouldn't even imagine the world we have today. Which is full of decadence and the thing is, Sven, right? You know, if you have a world without God, you've no morality. You know, as the old saying goes, without God, everything is permissible.
Yeah, everything gets put in his place. It's not that you have no God; it's just that they put everything else in its place. If you don't have a higher power, where these things come from and to try and reach towards, then you're just going to end up getting lower and lower and more corrupt. The problem I see is our people, as we were saying earlier, is our people fall for this Jewish lie and they help the Jews out by attacking Christianity all the more.
So 100% correct. Because they think it's good for them. Well, that's feminism. Thought it was good for them. when in fact it was detrimental. Wages came down. So now we're like, both of our parents have to work. Kids are in school earlier, so the state's got them earlier. And they're indoctrinated. But at the time, everyone were giving it all feminism. But yeah, it's only right. They do this a lot, you know what I mean? They're not unintelligent people. I sometimes think we can be.
Well, I sometimes wonder about the intelligence of our people that are attacking Christianity, because it's like we've allowed the Jews to take over our governments, and we want our governments back. We've allowed them to take over our education system, and we want our education system back. You know, we've allowed them to take over our religion, and a lot of our people are saying, "Well, give it to them. We'll join them in attacking our religion." That's what you just said.
Then, without knowing it, actually, right, was if you sat somebody down and said exactly what you just said to them, that is exactly what Hitler and Germany were trying to prevent. That's exactly what they were trying to prevent, and people, they all miss it because of all the propaganda.
Well, Hitler knew how important Christianity was for moral instruction and for moral teaching. That was the importance of it. It's not there to be political. It's not there to back up the politics like Pope Francis is doing today and like the heads of the Church of England are doing. It's not there to be politically correct. It's supposed to be there for the moral instruction of the nation so that they have a spiritual understanding of what's right and what's wrong.
Well, you said to me a couple of weeks ago, you mentioned put these refugees on an island, feed them, water them, and then send them back. And a billionaire offered to do that, but nobody took him up. Nobody took him up, you know, because that's not what they want anyway. They want to completely mix the race in Europe, and these people coming over, you can't tell me, you're not telling me that these young 23-year-olds, piling no offence, are running from anything but call up to the army, or it's Africa on the move anyway, you know what I mean, because they've destroyed that place.
Well, it is definitely from Eritrea. I mean, they're quite open about that. They're saying that the refugees that are coming from Eritrea are running away from national conscription. So they're being asked to join the army. And apparently that's an acceptable cause to ask for asylum. So you've also got faggots running away from Africa, and they're being accepted, saying, well, homosexuality is illegal in our country. So you've got to come and let us into yours and pay for everything.
Exactly. Well, they just throw the passport away and say they're Syrian. And when somebody like Merkel and Sweden are saying, if you're Syrian, just come and we'll let you in, I said, you know, they're saying it for a reason, aren't they? They know what's going to happen. It's just crazy, it really is. I mean, don't forget as well that Saudi Arabia and Jordan and all them, nobody's mentioning them in the media. They're not taking anybody. And Israel, of course, have turned around and said, we're not capable of taking a multitude of refugees. Well, let's all have a good laugh, eh?
Well, yeah, and the Saudi Arabia and Qatar, they've said, we are not going to take any refugees because there are terrorists among them.
Yeah,
and sure enough.
Nobody's had a go at them, though.
Yeah.
But you try saying it in Europe.
Well, sure enough, they've taken pictures of some of terrorists on these boats. So there was one that was on a boat the other day in Sicily, and a month later, he massacred 20 white people at a museum in Tunisia. So he was over here claiming to be a refugee, got over to Italy, and then a month later he was back in Tunisia, killing people.
Yeah, yeah. I'll say another bit of manipulation as well. Sorry if I'm seeming to interrupt you, because yeah, I like kind of going in and out, but I'm trying to stay aware. But just to remind people, this picture of this baby on the beach, you know, it was never off the TV for 4 days. You know what I'm saying? And yet, you know, this happens every day in Palestine for 30 years. You know, but again, they use that to soften people up and pull on the old heartstrings, like, and let's take another 500,000.
Well, that baby on the beach, I mean, that's a classic piece of propaganda. And the backstory behind that is quite, you know, it's unbelievable, really. I mean, the guy had been living in Turkey for 3 years. So that's longer than actually the troubles in Syria. So he wasn't a refugee from Syria in Turkey. He'd actually moved to Turkey, had a business there. He'd lost all his upper teeth. So he needed dental work. And the woman in Canada, his relative in Canada, said, come to Canada and we'll send you the money to come over. And he said, no, I'll go to Europe and I can get my teeth done for free. And this is on a Sky interview. His sister is saying this.
For free as well. They'll help them before they help us, because they don't like us and they're using them. I heard an Austrian whistleblower said that these people who have to pay many thousands of dollars or pounds to come over and can't afford it, you know, people are wondering how they're affording these things with these smugglers. The thing is, apparently there's some organisations in America who are funding them. Well, I don't think it takes much of a guess to think who that is.
Yeah, I've heard that. That was reported. I think there is Austria that reported that. America was funding them. I mean, one of the problems is, I mean, people say, well, what we need to do is we need to help sort out their countries, and then once their countries are up to a higher standard of living, then they won't be wanting to come to Europe. But that isn't what actually happens. The higher the standard of living in the third world country, the more they are able to afford to come to Europe. So the higher you raise their standard of living, the more of them are going to invade your country. It's better just to leave them.
Like we said a couple of weeks ago, you know, it isn't the fact that it's so great over here, it's so bad over there. When Cameron smirks and say, like, look at all these people trying to get into this wonderful country, you know, it's that bad in Africa. That's why we're that much better. In another way, you know what I mean?
Well, it's just going to, it would just turn Europe into Africa. It would just make it, you know, our place look like their place. Really, we should just not interfere with these other peoples.
No, I mean, look at Detroit. Detroit is just Africa in America.
No, that's what happens.
Areas, gangs of blacks.
Well, the gang warfare is just like the tribal warfare in Africa, and these horrendous crimes that they commit. I mean, if they commit a crime, if they're going to do a robbery, they're not just going to do a robbery. You know, they're going to stab someone 30, 40 times. They're going to rape them. Yeah. They're going to pull their insides out, and then they're going to run off with an iPhone.
I don't think these incumbent knights, or don't know it, should I say. That's why I said, like, one day I hope retribution comes on these people. Because it's heinous what they're doing, really is.
Well, they should definitely be tried for treason to the people and hung, drawn, and quartered. That's what that's what used to happen to a traitor. They would be hung, drawn, and quartered, and their head would be stuck on a spike. We even did that to Cromwell after he was dead.
Every week we get to a certain point in our conversations, then, and I say, that's me going, I'll shoot the bullets. once again.
Well, that is how it makes you feel. That really is how it makes you feel. Yeah. When you look at these crimes that are being committed against us like this, and when you think, this could all have been prevented. This is the real feeling that you get from looking at your documentary is, how it could have been. You know, the feeling of nostalgia that you get looking at that and thinking, what have we lost? What have we lost?
Exactly. This is why so many people have admitted to the tears in the greater story, because it hits them. It suddenly hits them. And it did with me when I was making it as well. It's like, no. And once it's gone. I mean, look at Germany now. She just took another 800,000 Africans. She'll take more. And there's enough Turks in there anyway. Germany, to me, is a lost cause at the moment.
Well, they said that they're going to take 800,000 this year, and it could be more. And these liberals are going there trying to welcome them, say, refugees welcome. There was a YouTube the other day, one of these liberals goes there to try and help the refugees, and they steal everything, steal his bag, everything.
Austria were the same, because they walked through Hungary, the 80 miles, to get to Austria, to get into Germany. And we all know Austria, after World War II, obviously the hatred of Hitler by that government. Removing his parents' graves and all this kind of carry on. I just hope they get retribution. I really do.
The only people that do seem to be pitting themselves against this is Hungary, Poland, Serbia, and Czechoslovakia. The former communist countries have all formed a bloc, and they've said we are refusing to take these people. We don't have mosques here. We don't want Muslims here. Europe used to be Christian. And Viktor Orban, the Prime Minister of Hungary, seems to be becoming a focal point for the people to rally around. I mean, I know he has a bit of a dodgy history. I've spoken to a few Hungarians who aren't too pleased with him. But he at least put this into words, and he said this, and it was across all the major newspapers. You know, isn't it a sad thing that Europe no longer has the strength to defend its own religion of Christianity, and it was built on Christianity.
Yeah.
And I think those Eastern European countries, they know what it's like to have population removals and to be replaced by another population, which is what the Soviet Union did. It would just strip out 25% of the people, put them somewhere else. And move in another crowd of people. So they know what that's like and what harm that can cause. So it's good that we do have this bloc that are against it. And they're not even a part of the EU. Or Hungary isn't a part of the EU.
No, it's common sense, though.
Yeah, they say...
It's like Putin, all right? A lot of people don't like Putin, but nobody's dumb. And it's common sense. You know, he didn't want the Western intervention in Syria. You know, he is upholding Christianity. You know, he is keeping the gay agenda under wraps. It's common sense, and, you know, the West has just gone bananas. It really has.
Well, I'm not sure whether any of these immigrants have even tried to get into Russia. They're not interested in the poorer countries. They're not interested in staying in Hungary. They want to be going to the rich, wealthy countries. They want Germany, Britain, Sweden.
Exactly. Yeah.
And this idea with the island, if they really wanted to stop this and prevent people drowning in the boats, which is what they claim to be wanting to do, then they should just be putting them on the island. That's what Australia did. Australia hasn't had anyone turn up in any boats at all since they started putting them all on an island. I'm just trying to think, on Papua New Guinea, I think it is. They're putting them on an island on New Guinea in a camp. Yeah. Until they want to go home again, and
which is,
nobody's
which is the right solution.
Yeah,
it's no solution to ruin Europe. But this is kind of what they want anyway. I mean, they're quite happy behind closed doors, having a drink and a toast at the end of the night. That's another 500,000 that's entered Europe, and they're watching the TV, probably having a really good laugh. But at the end of the day, in Italy, I mean, they're sending boats out to look for these people who were coming across in boats. Okay, it looks humane on one side, but on the other side, like, he's a communist. These are the same people what killed Mussolini and raped his girlfriend. These are the same people that were in charge. And this communist agenda is no different to what it was in Babylon. In Babylon, they accepted other civilizations just to start with, slowly but surely. And then eventually they mixed. And what we have today is what was in Babylon. It's communism in Babylon, to be honest.
Yeah, it does go all the way back to then. I mean, that's the first mention of it. That's your first multicultural society. It was Babylon. Yeah. And, whether you believe the old legends or not, it's clearly a negative thing. It's clearly an evil that was brought into the world, was Babylon. And today, it's the same thing. I mean, that's what caused the splitting up of the languages. So it's clearly put down in the Bible, the Christian Bible, as being an evil, being a sin, mixing all the nations together. Yet you've got the heads of our churches calling for more of it, and saying that racism is somehow a sin. Racism isn't a sin. God created the nations. Love your neighbour as yourself means look after your nation, look after your kinsmen, die for your nation. That's in the Bible as well.
They cast them out into the world so that they couldn't speak the one language. And now they're trying to reverse it all. They're trying to get one government, one religion, know their one language, and one army. It's everything what Babylon was.
I think this agenda goes all the way back to
hell, eventually.
As you said at the end of last week's episode, we will win. Yeah, we have to remember that.
It's Logos, the order of the universe.
Yeah. Well, we can see that the universe isn't quite right. We know that there's something that had to have created it. It has to be outside of it, and it has to be perfect. And if you think of eternity, this is just going to be gone. Like it will seem like a blink of an eye if you're in eternity. We weren't created for no reason. Logic, tells you that we will win in the end, and that all of this is, will seem as if it was nothing, as if it was just the blink of an eye.
It's all been predicted.
Yeah.
I thought we had Pacino win, I think it was Kenny Reeves who said you haven't got to win, and he said, well, he wasn't biased. But it is the order of the law, it's the order of the universe, and no matter what they do. It's a little bit like in the Ukraine. For all the what they try to do in the Ukraine, we try to separate things and cause that from what have you, and yet Russia ended up with a nice chunk of territory which was never intended. It's how we go, this is the order of the law.
You never know what's gonna come up next. I mean, they weren't planning on Putin taking Crimea, and I don't think they were planning on Donald Trump appearing in America and becoming a focal point for the people over there and putting this immigration issue into public discourse. Yeah, I mean, it really is in the spotlight over there. Whether he does what he says he's going to do, whether he gets voted in, it's not really that important. What is important is the changing of the narrative.
Because he is a friend of Israel. But, these things sometimes turn up to upset the apple cart. Because I've got to be honest, the choice between Trump and Hillary Clinton, my God, what a choice that is.
Well, there are reports that he used to read Mein Kampf. He said it was in his bedside table. I think it was his ex-wife or something said that. So you don't know if it was her trying to, slander him a bit, or whether it's a truthful thing. But nobody could have seen that coming. Nobody could have seen that coming. Nobody could have seen Putin taking Crimea. So we just don't know what's going to come around the corner to help us. It's no good just giving in. And we have to remember that we're on the side of what's right. We're on the side of what's good and true and natural and in tune with the natural order, in tune with the Logos, in tune with the natural order of the universe. It's against that to mix the races together. It's against that to employ usury. It's against that to be materialistic and all this materialism and being blinded by the trinkets that the Jew waves in front of you on the television screen, saying buy this, buy that,
and always fall for it.
And get your loans and trample all over everybody else to try and get somewhere. All of that is wrong, and we stand against that.
And we've got to pull up the red doors in it all.
Yeah, well, we've just got to accept that the leaders of the establishment churches are corrupt. That's a part of it, the same as the leaders of our governments are corrupt. But we're not calling for the end of government. This is what I don't really get with the antichrists, because they want to get the Jews out of every other area, but they don't want to get the Jews out of our religious area. It's a crazy way of looking at things, really. When you think religion has been so important to us, and that's really shaped us over the last 2,000 years.
Correct.
Right, and people join say if they think it's foreign, they say, oh, it comes from a foreign land. Yes, but it's been ours for 2,000 years. Even if you do think it's foreign, within a century, it would have been uniquely ours. It would have been changed to suit our tastes and our ideas. And if people think they should be searching for some pagan ideas or some long lost pagan religion, well, all the elements that were positive about the pagan religions would have been brought forward into Christianity anyway. It didn't just appear out of nowhere. Our spiritual beliefs have evolved over time, and what they finally ended up crystallizing as was Christianity, and that's a combination of all our earlier religious history, the same as our history is a combination of all our history. Our secular history is a combination of all our secular history. Our civilization has built one thing on top of another. You end up with the wheel, then the bicycle, then the motor car.
It's a choice between Crowley and Christ.
Yeah.
Literally.
This is the thing, Crowley, do what thou wilt. Do what you want to do, or you can do what the creator of the universe wants you to do and obey the laws which the universe was intended for you to obey. This is a thing.
Yeah.
Now you've got laws like the law of gravity. If you engage in sodomy, then you're causing harm to yourself and harm to your society. As sure as an apple is going to fall from a tree to the ground because of the law of gravity. The laws of morality say that you're going to be causing harm psychologically and harm to the people around you and physical harm. You're going to be bringing diseases in and AIDS and all these venereal diseases. And
well, they're going to be bringing some of it in, aren't they? Let's be honest, they don't come light without anything, do they? That will be interesting over the next few years. But again, that's going to feed the New World Order agenda because they want to depopulate anyway.
They depopulate the white people and increase the black and the brown people.
They'll turn on them. It's just like the gays. The gays they march up and down, that this is the best time I've ever had. But there's a reason they're having a good time. And it's not going to last forever.
One of the things they were saying, they were really pleased the other day. They did a survey of young people, I think 13 to 16, and something like half of them said that they didn't know if they were homosexual or straight. And they were saying this is a wonderful thing. This is great that they haven't identified what sexuality they are yet.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and that's a Christian. That's why they like it.
How can they be proud of that?
I mean, there's always going to be homosexuals. You know, you've got to live with that fact. But, you know, as in Russia, you know, they're kept under wraps. They've got their own places to go. They can do whatever they do behind closed doors. They've got their own clubs. What is wrong with that? Why do they have to keep, you know, encroach into our TV and our life? You know, it's an agenda. It's an agenda, and again, retribution one day is going to come, I'm sure.
Why does it have to be promoted to children? This is a thing. Why do they have to promote it? Hitler was right when they were saying, and Himmler in his speech that he gave to the SS about the homosexuals, about when if you get one in, say you get one in a position in the government, then more are going to follow because he's going to get employ or bring other homosexuals in to that group, and that's exactly what they do. This is why the government is infested with them. And this is if you have one in a place of work, then you're going to have more than one because he's going to employ other homosexuals. You know, they look out for their own. What we should be doing, looking out for our own. White people should be looking out for white people. And the homosexuals look out for the homosexuals.
The hours get tightened. That's the problem. And people get scared.
This is what they've done. They've worked at doing this and bringing more of their own into the place. And now that they've done that, they're saying, well, we need quotas of them now. The same as we need quotas of women everywhere and quotas of blacks and brown people in every position. And the idea of quotas is saying, well, no, hang on a minute. You don't actually want the best person for the job. You want somebody for the job based on their race or based on their gender. And if you do that, then the quality of everything is just going to lower and keep lowering. The idea is that you should want the best of everything. You know, this is always something that I thought of when they say, oh, well, you can look at all this wonderful choice that we have. Well, you know, I don't really want a choice. I want the best. I want to know what the best is, and then I want that. And that's
Once you reach the standard, that standard's either maintained or increased on. But I'm quite sure that if we had a poll, like, you know, if we go back, you know, a couple of decades where things, you know, were probably as good as it gets, you know, and then after that, it's just been downhill all the way. You know, from the 70s in sport, you had great champions in sport, wages were better, weather was better, everything was better. And then come the 80s, the 90s, etc., it's never been worse. Richer and richer and poorer
and poorer. This is what a government should be doing, is trying to ensure that it gets the best for its people. Not that there's lots of choice for the people. It should be ensuring that its citizens have the best of everything and have the best chances. Not equality of outcomes, but have the best chances. Equality under the law is a completely different thing to equality of outcome. You have equality of outcome, and there's no incentive to do any better. There's no incentive for people to excel.
But this is what Marxism does, though. It kills ambition.
You know, it kills ambition, and it plays on people's jealousy and envy of those that are better at doing things. You know, this is the whole idea of the diversity agenda, is jealousy of people that are better at doing things. You know, because white people are better at designing computers, the blacks are jealous. So the Jews will increase that jealousy and then get them to demand that they get to be put in positions of important positions to do with computer chips. And then you'll end up with rockets exploding on the launch pad. You'll end up with cars having to be recalled because the computer chips don't work. And you'll end up with all these really important things breaking down because instead of having the best person for the job working on it, you've got somebody working on it just purely because they're black or purely because they're queer?
Karl Marx right next to me now, and he can't convince me that that this world is equal. He can't say to me that everybody is equally the same. It's just a impossibility of nature. That you're always going to have, some people are cleverer, faster, or, physically stronger. Nobody's equal. It's the biggest fallacy that I've ever been told.
Well, we can see that everybody's not equal, and then from that you can see that all the races can't possibly be equal. If individuals aren't equal, they don't have equal aptitudes and it's inherited, then races are going to be unequal, and what the races have is going to be inherited. It's clearly inherited. The environment isn't what creates the different races. The different races are separate kinds that thousands of years.
When Germany invaded the Ukraine, they would actually take leaders of villages and towns back into Germany and show them just what Germany had advanced to, because as you know, in the Ukraine and in the Soviet Union, there were roads. People didn't have cars. People lived in mud huts. When they went back, they took them back to Germany to show them this land of technology and the motorway, etc. They were flabbergasted, these Ukrainian, council leaders or whatever you want to call them. And they were fascinated to hear the story, because they just come from one world into another.
Oh yeah, it was going very backward, especially after Soviets had taken over everything. And they were still, as you say, I'm not sure they were mud huts, but wooden huts. There's a part in your documentary series where the guy's talking about setting fire to them. And you can't compare what we were setting fire to a civilized home in the north of Europe. Completely different.
To them, it was just, they're built it again next day anyway, but I mean, how bad is that? I mean, but that's not just, let me just tell you this, right, because that's in the Soviet Union. Don't forget, after the war in this country, workhouses were still going, these Victorian monstrosities.
Goes back to, again, they're trying to free the slaves. Well, we had white slaves here. We had children going up in chimneys as chimney sweeps. We had people just being press ganged and sent off to America and Australia. And all the while, they're complaining that these blacks aren't being treated right. All the time, instead of looking after your own, you're more concerned with other people and what's going on with these other races. But the thing with showing the Russians or showing the Ukrainians what life was like in Germany, the thing was they were white people. So they were capable of doing that for themselves, so they could see that. And that was the idea, wasn't it? It was to inspire them to go back and then create the same in the Ukraine, in Russia.
I'll tell you a story. The Bow Street Runners and all that, like, they used to, if somebody's drunk and, they crack them over the head, put them on a boat, and they'd end up a slave in America, a white slave. But I found it amusing once, like, that I found out about after the Spanish Armada, I don't know whether you know this or not, but when the weather dispersed all the ships and the Spanish Armada went to, they had to go across the top of Scotland down by Ireland, and they'd be shipwrecked, and then the Irish had taken out on them. The actual crew, Drake's Navy, although Drake and the officers got back, the actual ships, they left out at sea because they didn't want to pay the wages. And they actually died of scurvy. They were just kept at sea. I mean, has it got much better though?
Other things, the conditions for the white people that were actually paying to go over to America were no different, really, to the conditions that the slaves had. And that famous picture of the slave ship, where they're all lying down head to toe and it fills up the whole of the hull, that's a fake picture, that's a hoax. It's actually a huge, great space in the middle, so they're all just lying around the edge with a huge space in the middle, and they could get up and walk around and sit down.
Right.
You've got a cargo there that was worth a lot of money. You don't want them to die. The white customers, they'd already paid their money, so it didn't matter what happened to them. So as you say, they would get scurvy, and the other whites that were clonked on the head and then taken over there to go as indentured servants. Again, you know, that didn't matter because they got them for free. And they were going to get the work out of them once they got there. They weren't selling them for loads of money like they were selling the blacks for. So the cost, the price on the white man's head was lower than the cost on the black's head. I mean, looking at slavery, again, that's very, very different to what we've been taught. The white people,
I was watching a thing on South Africa, a documentary the other day, and fascinating, really, because there was hardly any blacks in South Africa when the Boers and the whites arrived there. There was just one tribe, and they still haven't got rights in South Africa today. So a lot of that would have been sold down the river where.
Well, that's another part of the story with communism, is the way that it got the whites out of South Africa and replaced them with blacks and stirred the blacks up to revolt against the white people that had built everything.
And that's another.
Yeah, communists again after the war, and you've also got the white people there had a similar way of looking at things to National Socialism in South Africa originally, and they were sympathetic with the Germans. So you know that's more of the story of what happened after World War II. I don't know if you're going to be going into that at all with your series,
well,
Dennis.
I may well be doing this documentary seems to be going on a bit longer than what I thought, but I might as well carry on, you know, because things keep turning up, stones keep getting turned over, like, and you know, you can't afford to leave anything out. But at the end of the day, I look at Mandela, and it's Stalin. It's like, you know, the guy's a communist. It's a 33-degree basis. It couldn't be any worse in my eyes.
Yeah, there's always more to the story that can be told. But we're sort of coming up to the end now. We're going to have to finish, I think, Dennis.
It's been wonderful to hear your golden tonsils broken up every 30 seconds, I must admit, but we've got through it.
Oh, well, you've been coming out okay here. Yeah, it's a shame.
Oh, that's all right, because I weren't sure.
No, you've been sounding all right here, and nobody's said that the stream has been choppy in the chat room or anything like that.
No, I promise I'll sort this problem out at the time for next time, but at least, you know, just like any good Aryan race, we got through it.
Yeah, we managed to sort the problem out in the end. So thank you very much for listening. Please tune in again next time when hopefully we'll have the sound problems sorted out. Cheers, Em.
Nice one.
Tuned in to Radio Stormer on the Daily Stormer.